5, Children's Church, while y'all going out, Hebrews chapter 5. That's all? Amen. Hebrews chapter 5. Now, I'm glad you came today. You know what? I sit there and I think sometimes, and I used to. Now, I'm 62 years old. I know I look 39, but I'm 62, and the Lord's been good to me. But I used to worry about what people thought more than I do now. As you get older, you don't worry about that so much. You don't have time. I'd go to these churches, you know, these big fancy churches and these big rich churches, and I would think, boy, I wish my church could be like that. And the Lord convicted me of that, and the Lord said, I don't want a church just for middle class people or upper class people or poor people or northern people or southern people or white people or black people. He said, I want a church for everybody. I want a church for everybody. So here's the way I got after that. In my church, you may hear somebody sing real southern. You may hear somebody sing real northern. You can't get no more northern than our piano player, Michigan. You'd have to live in Canada to get more northern than that. Eh? And you can't get no more southern than Billy Burgess. Amen. And then there's generic. There's in between. So here's what I think. I think we'll let God do what he wants to with who he's got. And enjoy it. Enjoy it. Amen. Now, it's not always the way I would do it, but if it's the way he wants to do it, that's the way I want it done. Amen? Amen. So I want you to be yourself today, okay? Of all places, this is not the place to put on airs. You don't have to. We know who you are because you're just like us. Amen? We love you anyway. Amen? You're either a sinner lost, you're a sinner saved, and so either group, we know who you are. We've been on both sides of the fence. And we're not here to beat you up. We're here to help you, okay? So if you'll listen, I can help you. You young people, if you'll listen, I'll guarantee you that you'll say, man, I learned something at church today. And I've went many places and preached, and people come up to me, places in other towns and stuff, people come up to me and say, today was the first time that my child listened to a sermon, or today was the first time my teenager really sat up and paid attention to a sermon. So if you'll listen, you'll get it, okay? Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. And we long, good, lengthy passage of Scripture, and I want to preach to you, scribble this down, sound man, how to keep going. How to keep going. Look at verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of doctrine of baptism and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. In other words, he says, let's go on. He said, you got this. Let's go on. You've already done this. You know this. You've got this. Let's go on, okay? Now, verse 3, and this will we do if God permit. This will we do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints, and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, that means lazy, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now that's the word of God. Could I have all the men that would like to? You don't have to, but if you'd like to and you get a prayer through, would you come pray for me right now that I can preach? Somebody here needs a blessing. Somebody might need some encouragement. Somebody might need to be saved. And I need the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to be a powerless preacher. I'm not here to give a book report. I'm not here to give a little sermonette. I want God to meet with us. And he said if we'd call, he'd answer. If we'd meet, he'd meet with us. So I want all the men that want to, you don't have to, but if you can get a prayer through, I want you to pray right now for me, and I'm going to ask Brother Rudy to lead us off, if you will, Brother Rudy. Amen. 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 Thank you, fellas. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Everyone here today is interested in spiritual things and the Christian life, or you wouldn't be here. Everyone here today is interested in spiritual things and the Christian life, or you'd be at Walmart with the rest of the backslid Baptists. Amen. But you're looking and you desire and you want the will of God and you want spiritual things, so you came to church today. Now, may I first say, though, that interest does not necessarily mean salvation. When you're lost and you're seeking the Lord, you're interested, but you're not saved yet. Just don't think just because you're interested in spiritual things that that makes you a Christian. It does not. You must be born again. You've got to be saved by the grace of God. You've got to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now, so today, those that are saved, me, you, everybody in here would ask this question. If you've been saved any amount of time at all, you would say, how do I keep going? How do I keep going? Now, I talked about Sunday school this morning. Of course, we can criticize people. We can condemn people. We can put people down and talk bad about what they've done, what they haven't done. But, you know, the old psalm says, you know, it's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, O Lord. And what we need to do, we need to start thinking this way. I can't get them going on, but I can keep me going on. It's me I've got to do. Now, God will use me. God will use my life. But it's not my job. It's not my job to keep them going on. It's my job to keep me going on. And if I keep going on, then somebody else will keep going on. My children will keep going on. My grandchildren will keep going on. Maybe my brothers, my sisters, maybe friends and people like that. So today I want to answer your question in two ways, positively and negatively. A woman told me one time, I was on this job I worked, you know, and there was an old Presbyterian preacher there that drank beer with him, you know, at lunchtime, and he was so sweet and nice, and I told people, I said, you drank that, it's going to send you straight to hell and all this stuff. And she said, you ought to be more positive. I said, I am positive. You're going to die and go to hell if you don't get saved. Amen. I'm positive. That's one thing I know. Amen. But there is a positive. There is a negative. You got a car, and if you don't have both of those on your battery, it's not going to crank. We need both. So first of all, I want to show you the negative. Number one, the question is, why others don't keep going? Why others that were supposed to be saved, they were supposed to be children of God, why have they fallen by the wayside? Why have they quit? Why have they thrown in the towel? There's a lot of reasons, but the main reason is verse 11 through 13. Of whom we have many things to say, hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. They were dull of hearing. They didn't hear the word of God like they ought to. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become such as need milk. There's a lot of Christians, they fall by the wayside and they quit going because they refuse to grow. They refuse to grow. Now, let me tell you children something here, you young people, and I know most of them out there. If you don't eat, you're not going to grow. Can I get an amen? There used to be a lady in our church, and she told me one day, she had a little boy about 10 years old, mean, but anyway. And she said, I can't get him to eat nothing but peanut butter sandwiches. I said, well, he's going to have a problem. He's going to have a big problem. And I said, besides that problem, he's going to have another problem. He can't grow just eating peanut butter sandwiches. You're going to have to make that boy eat something green. He's got to eat something green. Can I get amen out of you mothers? Some of you men think all you got to do is eat meat. You're going to die of colon cancer. You've got to eat something green. You got to have a balance, some kind of balanced diet. But a lot of Christians, they think, I'm not going down there because I don't get what I like at that church. And then they'll go to another church. I don't go down there anymore because I don't get what I like at that church. Remind me of that story. This ship one time was going by this deserted island, they thought, and they saw a fella out there on the beach waving and hollering with a flag. And they sent a little boat up there, and they picked him up. He had a big old long beard. He'd been on that island for years. And they got him on the boat, and he said that he had shipwrecked for years and years ago, and he lived on that island by himself. And the captain said, well, I got one question. He said, what's that? He said, on that island, I see two huts. No, he said, I see three huts. I see three huts. He said, why are there three huts when there's only one person? He said, well, you see that hut? That's where I lived. He said, yeah, I see that. What's the other two? He said, you see that hut in the middle? He said, yeah. He said, that's where I go to church. He said, you see that hut on the other end? He said, yeah. He said, that's where I used to go to church. Hey, man, you're not going to get what you need to grow if you like that, man. You got to, somebody's got to get it settled. Look at Luke 21:14. I'm talking to you, Christian. If you're not growing, you're not happy. Luke 21:14, he says, settle it therefore in your hearts. Settle it therefore in your hearts. You got to get some things settled. And in this passage of Scripture, he says, we're having to teach you over and over and over and over again the first principles of the doctrine of Christ. What is that? He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He died in the sinner's place. He rose from the grave the third day. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father interceding for you. He's coming back in all His glory. And I keep having to teach you that over and over and over and over. And one week you say you're saved. One week you feel like you ain't. The next week you say you are. The next week you're not. You're out back in the world. And the problem is, number one, you never got the first thing settled. I believe you ought to go to church. I went to church ever since I was saved, March 5th, 1978. I've not had a problem with going to church. Nobody's ever had to beg me or plead me or anything. I wanted to go to church. But going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than parking a bicycle in a garage makes it an automobile. The doctrines of Christ, get it settled. Have you believed on Him as your Savior? Have you asked Him to save you? Did He forgive you? Did He cleanse you by His blood? Do you believe He's sitting on the right hand of the Father praying for you, interceding for you? Do you think He's coming back according to the Scriptures to get you again? That's the first principles. Until you get that settled, the rest is going to be like meat to a baby. He said, we haven't to give you milk, man. You know, the average Baptist church ought to be called Nursery Baptist Church. I'm pouring out milk every week, and I throw out a little meat, and people get mad at me. Oh, they got choked on it. They wasn't ready for the meat, brother. They got choked. They got mad at the preacher. He fed me something bad. No, it wasn't bad, just they wasn't ready to get it. They were still arguing over those first principles. Now, number one, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. Look at it real quick with me, and I'm not going to go real slow. 1 Peter, write down if you can't get there quick. Verse 10, but the God of all grace who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Now you get close to God, He'll settle your faith. You get close to the Lord Jesus Christ, He will settle you. Hey, people will come to your door and say, I'm from the Watchtower Society, and you'll say, I don't need it. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I know I'm saved. There's nothing you can do that would persuade me. There's nothing you could give me that would persuade me in any other way because I've got it settled. You're wasting your time here. I tell that to them. I don't cuss them out like most Baptists. I tell them, I say, I got it settled. And then I tell them this, I can tell you how to get it settled too if you want me to. Amen. They'll mark you off their list. They won't be back. I do the Mormons same way. I told some Mormons that one day, and he said, you're persecuting us. I said, persecuting you? I'm trying to give you the truth. You come to my house. I'm trying to give you the truth. But look, the problem is, a lot of folks, the reason they don't move on and grow in the Lord and be happy in the Lord, we preached Wednesday night. A lot of you missed it. Boy, you missed one of the best services we've ever had Wednesday night. One of the least attended, one of the greatest blessed. I preached on the joy of the Lord, the happiness of the Lord. We was laughing so hard in here, we was crying, wasn't we, Brother Billy? Everybody in here was laughing, crying. I said, man, I'm glad we're not at one of those uptown churches. That'd be done fired me. People laughing and going on. But look, you get it settled. You get it settled, and you will get past that little baby stuff. Now, I'm not degrading salvation, but I'm saying once you get that settled, you need to go on. Because if you don't, you're going to go backwards. If you're not moving forward, you're going backwards, see? And so, number one, negatively, maybe they just don't have it settled. All right, let's get it settled today. You say amen and answer my question. Is the Bible still the inerrant, inspired Word of God?
Amen.
Amen. You got that settled. Are you a sinner, saved or lost? Let's put it this way. Were you born a sinner?
Amen.
Amen. We was all born a sinner. Now, there's two kinds of sinners in here. And I'm going to ask this question. Are you saved today?
Amen.
Do you know that Jesus Christ one day saved you? He's your Savior. If He's not, you need to receive Him and get that settled. And then, here's something else. Hebrews chapter 6, look at verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on. Now, you got that settled. Those are the main things you got to get settled. Now, let's move on. Let's quit fussing and arguing over these little simple things. Children arguing fuss over all kind of stuff, and that's what's wrong with the average Christian. They're not happy because they've not gotten from what he calls the principles of the doctrines of Christ, and perfection doesn't mean sinless, it means mature, growing Christian. That's a sad thing to see Christians that have never grown. They're saved, but they don't look like they're saved. They don't act like they're saved. They don't talk like they're saved. They're saved. They say they're saved. I can't say any different. I don't know their heart. But I can tell you this. I can tell you when I see a baby and when I see a grown man.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Let us go on. Let's get it settled. Let's start moving. Some of you today, you can start moving in the right direction today. Number two, let's look at the positive. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 5, I'm going to use a lot of scripture today. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised, to discern both good and evil. Now, spiritually speaking, he said, now, if you're growing, you're eating. And if you're eating, you're eating meat now. You've left the milk. Now you're growing. You're eating meat. You can't feed somebody milk all their life. They won't. They can't live. Now we got a couple of babies in here today, and they drink milk. That's what they're supposed to drink. But a 22-year-old man ain't supposed to just sit around and drink milk. He's got to eat something, or he's going to die. Do you understand what I'm saying? Well, in the spiritual realm, it's the same way. I know people that's been saved for years and years and years and years, but they won't get past being saved, and therefore, the preacher's got to spoon feed them every week. And if I try to give them something strong, it chokes them. And they don't understand it, and they get mad at me. You take a baby. Now, I don't know how y'all fed y'all's babies, but we had those little jars of food. Did y'all have those little jars of food? And I remember we'd try to get that baby to eat. I mean, I'd take that stuff and airplane coming and land it right there. And one time I went and I said, no wonder this younger don't want to eat this. That's nasty stuff. Torture. Get this baby some green beans or something, you know. But the average Christian acts like that a lot of times. Man, I can't eat that. That's too hard. I'll never forget. I worked at Rock Hill Printing and Finishing, and I worked in the dye department. I was the youngest man in there. I was 18 years old. And there's old codgers in, been in there for 30, 40 years. And they would bring steaks and stuff and cook them in those machines. The machine would be running cloth through fire. There'd be fire shooting on the cloth. And they'd put steaks in there and cook them in the machinery and eat steaks. I'm talking about eat steaks for lunch. Especially on third shift when there wasn't no big shots there. You know, that's the shift I worked. And I'll never forget, Mr. Rayner, my supervisor, came by one night and he had a big old beautiful steak. And he, I said, where'd you get that? Because he never brought anything to eat. He always bummed off people. And had this big old steak. I said, where'd you get that? He said, oh, so-and-so cooked it down there on his machine. I said, well, why did he give it to you? He said, he cooked it too long. I said, what do you mean? He said, he told me it's too tough to eat. I said, you going to eat it? He said, no, I can't eat it, but I know somebody can. So he took it over to the forklift driver and laid it in front of him. He said, you want that? He said, yeah. He said, we can't eat it. It's too tough. Well, I looked at the man. He didn't have a tooth in his head. He didn't. I'm serious. The man had no teeth. And we had these big old scissors that we cut cloth samples with. He took those big old scissors and he cut that steak up in little old tiny pieces like that and put it in there. And he chewed that stuff up and got all the flavor out of it and swallowed it. Man didn't have no teeth, but he could eat meat. Amen. Boy, we need some toothless Baptists like that. Amen. 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 Now, what he says is exercise builds ability. You take that baby, you give it some milk, then you slip in a little bit of that mashed up green stuff that we call baby food, and it'll chew that up a little bit, and then every once in a while you feed it a little green bean off the table, and it'll chew that. Then it'll start growing some little teeth, and you start slipping other things in there, you know, pieces of apple or something, you know, and as it grows, and as it eats, it exercises, and pretty soon you notice it's got all its teeth, and it can eat anything. And that's the way, there's something wrong. Turn it down, something down, just a little bit. But that's the way we ought to be. Now, listen. Faith that is mature, it grows, it gets stronger. And look at the last part of that verse. So you can discern good from evil. Now, you put bad meat in front of a child, and they don't know the difference, they'll eat it and get sick. But you put bad faith, bad teaching in front of somebody that has been exercising their faith through the Word of God, and we don't need a seminar to teach us that's wrong. We already know it's wrong. Amen. I'll never forget another story. Story number 129. Some of y'all's got them numbered. I worked at J.P. Stevens Industrial Mill, dye house again. And I went to the break room. They had these machines. You could put a dollar in them and get a whole meal for a dollar. Y'all remember them? You put them in the microwave. And so I saw this steak and potatoes and carrots. So I put my dollar in there. I got it. I stuck it in the microwave. I ran back down to my job, and I sat down on my job to eat while I watched my job, and I got me some potatoes, and I got me this, and I got me that, and it was good. And then I cut that thing, and I threw it in my mouth, and I said, it was liver. I couldn't eat it. I didn't look at it. I should have looked at it. I should have read the label. It said liver. But you know what I never had a problem with ever again? Recognizing liver. I never had a problem with that again. And in the Christian life, we've got to grow and we've got to eat the meat of the Word of God and preaching and teaching and studying and praying and contemplating. And you know what will happen? We'll be able to discern good from evil. You ever heard anybody say this? I didn't know what I was getting into when I went to that church. I didn't know what I was getting into when I joined Jehovah's Witness. I didn't know what I was getting into when I joined the Mormons. You know why? Because they were spiritually stalled. They were not growing, and they were not going forward in their faith. So when a fake faith comes around, they don't even recognize it. Did you know, and I want you to ask the question, every Mormon come to your house, there's two of them every time. Usually Jehovah's Witness too, two of them. When they come to your house, they introduce themselves. I want you to ask them what kind of church they grew up in. And in every one of those cults, in their cults, one grew up in a Christian denominational church and the other one grew up in the cult every time. Every time. I'll never forget. I witnessed to some one time. And the elder, you know, I knew I wasn't going to get much out of him. But the boy that was with him, I said, "You grew up in Methodist church." He said, "Yeah, I did." I said, "You know better than this." I said, "You've heard the gospel." I said, "You've heard about the virgin birth, the sinless life, the death on the cross for our sins, the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. You've heard that if whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You've heard how to receive Christ. You know better than this. Have you ever done that?" And he hung his head and he said, "I heard it, but no, sir, I never did that." You said that never would happen to me. It will if you don't eat. Amen. It will if you don't grow. It will if you don't go forward. It will. Listen, you say, "Well, preacher, I had it, but I lost it." Well, what happened 1 John 1:9? "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins." What happened to 1 John 1:7? "If we walk in the light as he's in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." What happened to 1 Peter 1:5, where it says, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation"? What happened to that verse? Amen. Well, I lost it. No. What happened to Hebrews 6? Go back there. Hebrews 6:6. He says this, and most people read it wrong. Verse 6, that if you shall fall away, to renew them unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. In other words, if you could lose it, and you couldn't get it back then, because in order to get it back, he'd have to die again for your sins again. No, you didn't lose it, you left it. What happened to that? Hey, did you know that Jesus died one time for your sins? He paid for your sins one time. And you need to get that settled. You're either saved or you're not. Amen. Well, I used to be. No, you wasn't. If you were, you would be right now. Amen. There is no... God doesn't cast his children off. God don't disown his children. God adopted you. He has made it his obligation to take you to heaven when you die. Amen. That's his job, to get you to heaven. Yes. Now, it's your job to grow and go on your way. Look at Hebrews 6:7. Hebrews 6:7. Look at it. "For the earth which drinketh in the rain and cometh oft upon it, bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it was dressed, receiveth blessing of God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned." Now, let me tell you something. You stay right and the blessings will come. You get thoroughly right with God and you stay right. You walk in the light, you talk in the light, you live in the light of God's word, and God will bless you. He's promised that. But you don't. He'll burn up your blessings. He'll burn up your blessings. You say, "Well, preacher, God loves everybody." He does, but he don't bless everybody. He only blesses those who do right. Amen. Hebrews 12, we're not going there, but he said, "You had earthly fathers that chastened you, your fathers on earth, they chastened you, and don't you think your heavenly father will chasten you so much more so? He's a better father than your earthly father." Amen. Look at me, I hadn't said let's pray. Look at me, listen. I'm telling you, God will bless those who go forward. God, I don't care how much you pray, I don't care how much you beg or complain or whimper or whine or put out the poochy lip. He's only going to bless obedient children. And if you're moving forward, you're obedient. And if you're not, you're being disobedient. Right, yeah. You ever had a kid, Billy, I'm sure you did, that you had to... No, you were probably one of them. Tonda. You ever had a kid you had to carry a fly swatter around to keep him motivated moving? And then the other ones, you didn't have to tell them. They just, which one got the blessing? Well, I can tell you it wasn't the one that got the fly swatter. Amen? My mama had a metal-handed fly swatter. They put her in jail now. She'd wear me out with that metal-handled fly swatter. You say, preacher, my mom never would do that to me. Well, maybe that's why you're in the mess you're in now. Now, let me tell you something. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11. Look at it. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11. I'm about through. Some of you look nervous as a long-tailed cat in a rocking chair factory. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to full assurance of hope unto the end. Now, I want you to notice this. Listen. He says, we desire. We're looking for it. Did you know others, Paul here, others are wanting to see you succeed? You know, I've never looked at another Christian and said, I hope they fall flat on their face. Amen. Never. If you did, you ain't right with God. I might even doubt your salvation. Every child of God, we see that poor fellow that got saved this morning at nursing home, you look at him and say, boy, I hope he makes a good one. Boy, I hope God blesses that fellow. And when people get saved, they receive Christ. And sometimes people will come and they'll come back to the Lord and they be damaged, you know. They've damaged themselves. I never look at them and say, they won't make it. I never do that. I always look at them and I say, boy, I hope they make it. Boy, I hope they succeed. Boy, I hope they turn out to be a good Christian. Other people's wanting you to succeed. You know, Clinton, ain't nobody in this room that's right with God that wants you to be a failure. Nobody in this room. Everybody in here wants you to be a total success at whatever God chooses for you. We don't look at your color or your social standing or your pocketbook or your education or where you're from. We look at you as a child of God and say, God, I want you to bless that person and whatever it takes, keep them going, keep them moving. Don't let them fall by the wayside. If they fall, pick them up and get them back on the straight and narrow. We don't want for people to fail. We want for them to succeed. And we talked about it in Sunday school. Maybe some of you would have been here. I've never been envious of another Christian. That God has blessed them in any area. I say, bless them, Lord. Bless them, amen. Bless them. Pour it on them, Lord. When Rick rides up on that big old giant Harley Davidson that needs mufflers, you need to get them mufflers fixed. When he rides up on that thing, I'm not envious of that thing. I say, bless him, Lord. Bless him. Bless him. You're going to have to on that. Put a wall around him, amen? Protect him. I'm going to get off my sermon for just a second and say this. Why wear a helmet? Are you going to land on your head? Because that's the only thing that's going to help, you know. I mean, if a car hits you, I don't think that helmet's going to do much good, amen? I'm not trying to scare you. Bless him, Lord. I don't want one, Lord, but bless him in it. Amen. I want something with doors on it. But we ought not be envious of people that God's blessed. We ought to be happy and say, thank God, I hope he blesses this other one, just like that. Amen. Brother Ron, when you preach a good sermon, I'm not envious of that. I say, bless him, Lord. Thank God. When one gets saved, God bless that one that led them to the Lord. Hallelujah. I hope it happens again and again and again. When a church grows, if they're biblically right, I'm not jealous of that church or that pastor. And there's a lot of preachers that preach better than I do. And there's a lot of churches that are more fancy than ours and all that stuff. And I'm not jealous of that. If that's what God gave them, thank God for them. Maybe I'm the little refuge preacher down here. You know, I don't know. But whatever it is, hallelujah for what he does do. Amen. Hallelujah for it. Praise God. And if you're growing, you'll feel that way. I've had preachers come in here and claim they want to help, end up getting envious and jealous and everything else and leaving mad. I've seen Christians come to church and getting envious and jealous and leave getting mad. But they're not growing, see. If they were growing, they wouldn't feel that way. They'd want you to succeed. And then, listen, not only that, turn to Psalm 37:4. Y'all listening good today. Psalm 37:4. You might be the first one in line at KFC today, bud. Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Did you know that God wants to make you a winner? God wants you to be successful. God's not sitting up there in heaven with a baseball bat watching for you to do something wrong so he can hit you over the head and knock you down. He's sitting up there trying to encourage you. He sent the Holy Spirit to encourage you. He sent the Word of God to encourage you. He sent church to encourage you. He sent fellow believers to encourage you. He's done everything he can to encourage you to be successful in the Christian life. He doesn't want you to fail. Delight yourself in him, and he'll put desires in your heart that you never even dreamed of. And then God will give you the desire that he put in your heart. Amen. Amen. Look at Romans 10:1. Look at Romans 10:1. Listen, I know some of you don't get it. You just need to move on. You'll get it. Romans 10:1. Hey, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. The Apostle Paul said the Israelis had tormented him and tortured him and called him a false prophet and beat him and left him for dead and everything else. And yet, he said, my heart's desire is for those people to be saved. You know, since I've been saved, I've not met one person I wanted to go to hell. I met some people I didn't like. Don't get me wrong. I didn't like the way they were. I didn't like the way they lived or whatever. But I don't want them to go to hell. I don't know anybody wanting to go to hell. I know some people I don't want to be around. I don't like their company. But I don't want them to go to hell. Amen? And so God tells us through the written word of God, through the Apostle Paul pours his heart out and said, those people that beat me and left me for dead, and they spit on me, and they mocked me, and they put me in jail, and they ridiculed me and called me a false prophet, my desire for them is that they be saved. Amen. There's not a true believer in here that wants you to fail, not one. Let me tell you something. God will make you a winner. Did you know that if you turn out to be a loser in the Christian life, you had to do it on purpose? Amen. You had to decide to do that. God, the Holy Ghost, didn't let you do that. You went against everything he set up for you. And you went against everything that you knew. And you went against everybody that loved you. And you stepped over the church, and you stepped over the Word of God, and you stepped over the blood of Christ, and you stepped over the Holy Ghost, and you stepped right over every bit of that to get out of the will of God. We've done it. We know what we're talking about, all of us. And look, in order to fail, we have to do it on purpose. Now, somebody else might have tempted you, but they couldn't make you do it. And there's no temptation but such is common with man, and with every temptation, God will make a way to escape. Yes. So we had to do it on purpose, didn't we, Brother Ron? The whole time we know that God wants us to succeed, and we know that if we go this direction, we're not going to be successful, and it's going to hurt us, it's not going to help us. And yet, the old flesh, because we're not growing and we're not going forward, we've stopped in our Christian growth, we've stalemated in our prayer and our witnessing, then we get off on the wrong path and we fail. But I'm glad that the Lord, he still receives sinful men. Amen. I'm glad he said if we'll just come back and call on him. He said if you'll confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. And he don't stop there. And to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You know, one prayer is all it takes to make you right with God. One prayer. You say, preacher, you don't know how many times I've failed. Well, you don't know how many times we failed. A lot of failure, you don't see it. It's inside. You say, well, Pastor, you don't know how many times I've tried. Maybe you need to quit trying. Maybe you need just to surrender to Him. And say, and this is what I said when I got saved. Lord, I can't live the Christian life. I can't. If He doesn't live it through me and give me the power and the ability to do it, I'm going to fall.
Amen.
It's Him mend me, the hope of glory. It ain't me. I wish everybody in this room would come to the point. Most of you say you're saved. Most of you say you've met the Savior and you've asked Him to save you. But I'd like to get everyone in this room to make a decision today that today I start moving forward again. I'm not backing up anymore.
Amen.
And I'm not going to have anything to apologize for anymore. I'm going to move forward. And we sing the song, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. By faith on heaven's tableland. Ah. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. You got to move to do that. A lot of Christians sitting at home today with a remote control in their hand, trying to find something that will inspire them on television.
Yeah.
Boy, you're a better hunter than I am. I give up too easy. A lot of them's down at the river, the beach, or somewhere looking for something to inspire them and make them move on. And you know what? All that stuff just drags you on down. And it drags. Till finally one day you get out of church, you get out of God's will, you lose everything you got, you wake up all alone, and then you remember, my Father's hired servants have better to eat than I do down here at the pig pen. And you know what you do then? You do just like He did. Unconditionally, you head home. You don't say, Father, I'll come home if. You know, sir, you just crawl back home and say, Father, I'm not worthy, but if you'll have me, I'll come back. And I'm not even worthy to live here. I'll feed you pigs for you. But you have to make that decision.
Yes.
I've given you the positives and the negatives of Jesus Christ in your life. Now I want to ask you something. Do you want to be a winner or are you going to be a loser? It's up to you. There's not a message I can preach that will change you. I can make you think. But you have to make the decision. I refuse to be held back. I refuse to be defeated. I refuse to stay down. I refuse to be a baby Christian. I'm going to go on with this thing, and I'm going to get everything that God has for me in this life and the life to come. Let's stand. Father, thank You for the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by